Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's February 3rd already. And I've got Sam and Lee in the studio with me and Mary Jo.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning, Brad.
You doing all right?
You say it's February 3rd, and I'm blessed. I've got through the month of January, and you know why. So survived it.
And football is over.
Oh.
But the controversy is not.
You know, I was in the gym today, and I mean to tell you, there was such, rhetoric about what a bad call. It had been a great call if they had scored, right? No one would have criticized him if they had scored.
Well, and of course, you know, leave it to Fox to come up with the conspiracy. But it was all about this conspiracy theory that they didn't want Lynch standing next to Roger Goodell.
I tell you, these guys.
What do you think, Lee?
As soon as he threw the interception, I turned it off. I couldn't watch anymore.
It was
a terrible call. You have the best running back.
It would have been a great call if they made it.
And you
it
have was the best running back, 36 inches.
It was second down. That's when you do want to do something different. And then if you don't make it, you got two more tries.
That's what I think they were thinking.
I would have thrown. Now I might not have thrown it in the middle, but I would have thrown it in that situation too.
Okay.
And of course, that's why Brad pays me $2,444,000 a year.
To make those decisions.
Per game, yes.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Well, on to more important things. We have a full studio today. We've got, as you've heard already, a full complement on one side of the table. And we have Jamie Kramer, a repeat guest at least once, maybe twice.
Yes,
certainly, Gwinnett County Senior Services has been here multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start having them pay us.
Uh-oh.
And Jamie is the manager of Senior Services for Gwinnett County, and she brought with her this morning Maria Beabout, who is a transportation volunteer specialist for Senior Services. So welcome.
Thank you.
We always start the show by asking our guests to introduce themselves so that we can get to know you a little bit, our listeners can get to know you. And so if you could just take turns, remind us who you are and where you went to school and where you grew up and how you got to be doing what you're doing, Jamie and Maria, same thing for
in
you.
20 seconds or less. No,
in 20 seconds or less. So I'm Jamie Kramer, and I am originally from Kentucky. I graduated from Cumberland College in Williamsburg, Kentucky, but I've lived in Georgia longer than I've lived anywhere. So I came here in 1990 and accepted a job with Clayton County Aging Program and was the manager for that program, which is the sister agency to Gwinnett Senior Services. And I did that for about 8.5 years, and then I went to work for the state of Georgia and was the manager for livable communities. And so I oversaw all of the non-Medicaid home and community-based service programs for the state of Georgia. So I was there for about 14.5 years and then decided to come back to do the Lord's work and came back to Gwinnett County to be able to make a real difference. And it's been a great experience for me to come back to where I started and to be able to implement some programs that I'd seen around the state that I think that I thought would work well in Gwinnett County. And one of those programs is our volunteer program for drivers. And Maria Beabout has just really taken that program and ran with it. So Maria, you want to tell us a bit about you?
Sure. My name is Maria Beabout. I am from Gwinnett, born and raised in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Boy, that's a rarity.
I know.
That makes you special.
Yes.
And I went to get my college education at the University of West Georgia. Got a psychology degree there. Came back to Gwinnett. started off my career in assisted living, transitioned to Gwinnett Senior Services in a different capacity at one of their senior centers. My husband's in the military, flies Blackhawks, and so we had to go get him trained in that, left and went to Fort Rucker, Alabama for a couple years, was blessed enough to come back and get back with Gwinnett County Senior Services, where my current role is with the Volunteer Driver Program.
Well, y'all have both hit a sweet spot with me because I'm from Kentucky.
Really?
And my son is in the military, so y'all are even more special.
You probably shouldn't have mentioned that because now I'll spend the entire show asking you questions about the military.
Well, and can we talk about Kentucky for a minute?
We can. And, you know, one of the primary reasons Kentucky... that West Virginia exists is so that Kentucky has somebody to make fun of.
Edit this out, Lee. You know, it never fails. He never misses the opportunity.
Okay,
now that we've blown the show up, that's right.
So let's go back to Gwinnett County Senior Services. Mm-hmm. So let's talk in general about what you do and the impact that you're having on the lives of seniors in Gwinnett County. So let's start there.
Okay. So Gwinnett Senior Services has been the county-based agency for over 42 years. And so our mission is to help people age in place rather than end up in a nursing home setting or another, you know, setting. So we really want people to age in place and to be able to thrive in the community. So we do that through a variety of different programming and services. We have 4 senior centers, and so that's for our more healthy seniors where they come and receive a lot of socialization, and we have some music therapy. We do a lot of health and wellness, fall prevention, and, you know, just things that keep people engaged and socialized. In addition to that, we provide a hot, nutritious meal for the seniors while they're there, and if people can't get transportation, since today we're talking about transportation, we transport them to and from the senior center. And oftentimes, again, speaking about transportation being such an issue, for the folks who aren't still driving into the senior centers, once a week, we take them to the grocery store. And so then they're able to take those groceries home with them at the end of the day and have gotten a trip to and from the grocery store for that week. So that's one program that's kind of like for our healthier seniors. And then we have some services for people who, you know, are much more frail, and so they aren't able to do things for themselves. So, for instance, we have homemaking services. So that's for somebody who can no longer do that for themselves. And on average, they'll get about 4 hours a month. So every 2 weeks, that'll get a couple of hours. So it's just the little bit that we can do to help people get by. And then we just clean like the main living areas, you know, one bathroom, one bedroom, that type of thing. We also have a respite care program, and this is more for our caregivers. So we know that there's a lot of people out there who are caregivers, and we need to do what we can to help them continue on in their caregiving role. And so one of the things that we offer is respite care, and that's usually more of like 4 hours at a time that people will get that break. And while they're taking a break to take care of their health or whatever it is they need, then we have our certified nursing assistants who go in, and they are able to do light housekeeping. They can give the person a shower or a bath or wash their hair, whatever the care plan calls for. And we do have a case manager who helps each person that's in service. And so that individual can help get them connected with resources that they might need. And we have what we call as our gateway to community resources, and that is where we provide information and assistance to just about anybody that's 6 years older who is looking for something as it relates to helping an older adult. And so we have this fabulous database that holds over 25,000 resources, and it can tell you everything from an adult daycare center that takes somebody in a wheelchair with dementia to a veterinarian that does home visits. So that's just a few of our programs. We also have, since I've been around, transportation has been the number one issue for older adults, and it continues to be. And so we have various approaches to dealing with that. We have a large contract with the state of Georgia where we get some trips because of the size of Gwinnett. It's based on our population and our needs. And so we get about $600,000 and funding from the state of Georgia that helps us get the clients to and from the senior center. It also helps us to provide what's called demand response trips, and that is for somebody who needs to go to a medical appointment and or to a pharmacy, that type of thing. We also have a program, and I know Brad's really familiar with it because Friends of Gwinnett Senior Services supports this this particular program to a large extent. And that program is called Getting Gear, and that is a MARTA grant that we've been receiving for about 3 years. And I think actually Griswold has actually made a donation towards that program. And we, on that particular program, we provide mostly people who are coming to and from dialysis. So that is oftentimes three days a week, and that is a lot. But in that program and in our other programs, if people can afford it, there is a cost share. So they pay a portion based on their income if they can afford it. But if they're at poverty level, then we do not ask people to do that because that's, you know, ends up making them choose if they're going to eat or buy their medicine.
As I recall, the cost share has been, you know, it's kind of a unique idea and it's been very successful, correct?
Well, it actually is not a unique idea. It's just not been, it has not been as widely enforced as, you know, it probably should be because it's been part of the policy from the state level since Sonny Perdue was in office. And he decided at that juncture that anybody who could afford to pay a portion should pay a portion.
I guess, you know, in saying unique, it's been successful.
Oh, yes.
And you know, maybe surprising that it's been so successful and to your point, not as widely enforced. But I think, you know, confirm this, but I think what I've heard before is that most people want to contribute. They want to pay their way. They don't want to, you know, take 100% of the public dole, and so it's a way for them to contribute and feel good about what they're doing.
Absolutely, and you know, Marie and I both have worked with different populations outside of older adults, and the thing that is one of the things that's so rewarding about working with older adults is that they are so grateful for what they get. And you're right, Brad. They want to pay their way because you know that's how they're raised, and It is a great thing to see that they put the money back because any revenue that we generate from a client goes back to serve another client. So it's an important concept, and it's great that people are doing that.
It's a way to extend the reach of the program.
Absolutely.
Which is terrific. Mm-hmm. So and before we go any further, just to take a quick step back, mm-hmm. You alluded to Friends of Gwinnett Senior Services.
Yes.
Maybe you can describe a little bit about what that is for our listeners.
Yeah, and actually, Brad, you could describe it better because I think you were the sitting president for 4 years, right?
Yeah, and yeah. Been dragged back into it. Elect position again. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, so I'm actually, you know, I've only been with Gwinnett Senior Services for 2.5 years, but I was so excited to come to Gwinnett and see what... how far that the Friends of Gwinnett Senior Services, which is a 501c3 that is dedicated to raising funding specifically for Gwinnett Senior Services. And it has been phenomenal. I actually, when I was down in Clayton, I started the 501c3 down there, you know, 20 years ago. And it was, you know, it's not been anything like the one in Gwinnett. It's really, you know, it's been a really thriving board, and the folks on there are really sharp and continue to impress me with great ideas on, you know, how to do more and how to raise funding. And it really makes such a difference. The government funding is so very complicated, and we're working on calendar years, state fiscal year, federal fiscal years. And whenever, you know, something comes up short, it's been great for me to be able to go to friends and say, hey, can we shift some money around so that I don't have to take, you know, somebody who's getting a home-delivered meal, I don't have to stop providing that for that person who really needs it. And
it's interesting because you can look at the amount of money we raise and say, well, you know, doesn't seem like very much, and I wish it were more, and I think we all wish it was more. But the great thing is that organization has been able to stand in the gap.
It has been, it's remarkable. And it also, the other thing that I really love about this board, and I know that we've written a couple grants just yesterday, is that because, you know, government funding is set. So once the county budget is set, we have a year, and that budget is set, and it's a big process to get it changed. So even to get an additional $5,000 to pull down $50,000 for a grant, I wouldn't be able to do that if it weren't for Friends of Gwinnett Senior Services, because they can come forth and say, we can absolutely provide match to pull down, you know, the dollars for a grant.
Great. So let's talk to you for a while, Maria. You're sitting there just chomping at the bit to talk.
I can see that.
So tell us about what you do, and, you know, tell us about the impact that your organization is making.
Absolutely. Well, like I had said, I am the coordinator for the volunteer driver program. I go out into the community and do various outreach to try to recruit volunteers to sign up and register with Senior Services as volunteer drivers. In the very same token, I also go out and look for clients who have a need for the services that we have not yet touched. And so I have a dual role there. I recruit those volunteers. There's a registration process, and then I coordinate the volunteer with the client. And so it's more of a matching program at this point. And so a lot goes into figuring out what client is going to be best matched with which volunteer. A lot of thought on location mapping, as well as personalities and kind of what the volunteer is looking for.
So what do these drivers do, and how often do they volunteer, and what does a trip look like for a volunteer, and how many do you need?
Absolutely.
Can you remember all those questions?
Maybe. yes, the volunteers are providing transportation in various capacities. The primary trips that they're conducting at this point are grocery shopping to meet some food insecurity for seniors who are primarily homebound. But we also do pharmacy, beauty shop, various other shopping trips, going up to the mall. And then we do meet medical appointments on a limited basis as well. And so the volunteers can volunteer as much or as little as they have available. I have some volunteers that want to do it weekly. I have other volunteers who want me to call them just every now and then. Some of them want a set schedule where they can anticipate going to pick up Ms. Smith the first and third Wednesday of every month at 3:00. And then I have other volunteers who have a schedule that they would prefer that I just call with those more urgent needs. And if they can do it, great. If they can't, then I move on to the next volunteer.
That sounds like a big puzzle to put together.
Yeah, this program's a little different in my mind than what I see in other counties, in that you have unique drivers for unique client needs. And so one volunteer this week might be going to XYZ, and next week they're going to ABC. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the point I'm making, in other counties, they'll have transportation service, but it's more of a client capacity, I guess, is what.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the reasons that we started this volunteer driver program, is because we know that there are so many other needs than, you know, we are so restricted in some of our grants that we can just do medical trips. And so I would love for Maria to tell you a little bit about some of the cases that she's had recently, and kind of like, you know, what the trips have looked like.
Sure.
We're good for stories.
Good. I have them. I had one client who contacted our office who had a very urgent need for medical transportation. Now, our medical transportation that we can provide is limited, primarily based because the volunteer is not interested in meeting medical trips due to the nature of it. Unknown wait times, unpredictability, things of that nature. But I do have certain volunteers who feel very strongly about meeting those medical trips. And so I had this client who contacted our office with an urgent need to get to a medical appointment. He had just returned home from the hospital. He was currently living in an extended stay hotel, very limited income, with high level of need. And he came home to multiple voicemail messages, certified letters from a physician's office asking him to contact them right away. When he did, they notified him that there was a spot that was found on his lung. So be mindful, he just came home from the hospital with a separate medical issue. And they found a spot on his lung, and he needed to go find out if he now has lung cancer on top of all the other medical concerns that he was suffering from. And so I reached out to my volunteers and found a specific volunteer who was willing to meet this need. It was a very specific case, and she drove 48 miles round trip and spent over 3 hours with the client. That is above and beyond the commitment that we typically ask of our volunteers, but due to the nature of the request and the volunteer's willingness, we were able to meet that need. And so the volunteer reported that she had just such a rewarding experience with the client. And told me that she would provide a ride for him anytime he needed one. We were able to fill in that gap, and so he was able to get back on his feet and, you know, get on top of those medical bills that he had accrued. And due to other funding, we were able to provide him with medical transportation from our demand response program. So he will currently be receiving that. And so now this volunteer can focus on other needs that this client has, such as grocery shopping and meeting other transportation barriers, as well as providing services to other clients.
That's super. That's great.
So. Tell us a little bit maybe about another client that, because I know that one of the things I really like about this program is that, you know, we're able to take people to get haircuts, you know, the socialization of that, is just amazing, you know, important. But so I think you have another really good story that's very uplifting. Yeah,
sure. The socialization piece to this program is huge, and it's something that that you don't see until you start talking about the stories. We're meeting the transportation need, but we're providing so much more than just a ride. And so it's really rewarding both to the volunteer and the client to be able to get to know one another. And if it is an ongoing partnership, then really develop a friendship there. And so I had another client who contacted our office with an urgent need to get to the grocery store for grocery shopping. She has a friend who lives down the road who normally would help her meet this need for grocery shopping, but his wife had come down with an illness and he wasn't able to help her get to the store. And she was down to the bare minimum. Her cupboards were empty. And so she had some food insecurity there and was reaching out. She said, I have the money for the groceries. I just don't have any way of getting there. And so she called us at the last minute, which happens sometimes, and said,
Often,
more times than not, and said, well, I really need to go today. And I said, oh, ma'am, yes, I will do my best, but that's really short notice. And just understand the nature of the program. It's a volunteer-based program only. And so I'll reach out, but it's not looking good pretty much. And so I made the first phone call I made. The volunteer said, I explained the request and said, you know, she's asking to go today. And she said, oh, that works great. My schedule just opened up. And so she was able to take this client, got her grocery shopping. They ran a few other errands and got her back home. And so fortunately, her friend's wife recovered from her illness. And so it was, again, a one-time need, just kind of filling in that gap for her.
That's great. So if somebody, if one of our listeners is interested in volunteering, what does that process look like?
Absolutely. We try to make it as quick and painless as possible. We have multiple avenues to be able to submit your application. It's a short application, just 2 pages of information and then 2 forms to sign. So it's very, very simple, very quick to fill out. You can submit it online. I have a website that I can provide. I can mail you a hard copy. I can email you a soft copy. I will get it to you. I will bring it to your door if I have to. And so, all you need to do is reach out to me and I can get you that application. We do run background checks for the safety and security of our clients to make sure that you're not wanted or anything crazy like that. And then once that background check comes back and we verify that you have valid car insurance, then you're ready to go. You notify on your application and then I'll give you a follow-up call and we really have a good conversation on what you want to get out of the program as a volunteer. Here and so that I can best match you with the client that you're looking to serve.
If you can, and we spoke of this briefly before we began, What are your needs when it comes to volunteer drivers?
Absolutely. The primary need is just the volunteer. Because we get so many different types of requests on so many different levels, then really all we need is a commitment from you. It can be one day a month. It can be three times a week, you know, whatever you have available to give. But just getting you registered as a volunteer and just finding that tiny bit of time out of your schedule to be able to give back.
How many volunteer drivers do you currently have?
I currently have 28 active volunteers.
And how many do you need?
Yeah.
It's limitless. You know,
a million and one.
Yeah. Our waiting list for transportation, you know, is always the highest for anything we have. And so the need with the population getting older, the baby boomers aging, we know this is just going to continue to be more and more of a need. So we have to get really innovative and we have to try different approaches. And this is a great approach to meet the needs. It's not the only approach. And I think, you know, that's important to say, is that we need to have multiple approaches to dealing with the transportation need. But, you know, it's limitless in terms of, you know, the people out there. And like I said, for most of our services, we're providing the bare minimum. You know, I mean, I think, Brad, you were at a board meeting and we talked about a client who had literally not been shopping for 4 years. She had not done any of her own shopping, her grocery shopping, anything. And so we were able to connect her up with our Get in Gear program because she was wheelchair bound and needed that. And I don't know that our, you know, volunteer driver programs are going to be able to meet those types of needs, but that's why we need multiple approaches. And, you know, this one is just really proving to be successful. Another thing I want to point out, because I think sometimes listeners are really concerned about, or people who are going to volunteer are worried about liability. And, you know, of course, I mean, it's a litigious society. People can sue anybody for anything. But the great state of Georgia had wisdom about 10 years ago to pass very specific legislation to protect volunteer drivers for older adults. It's that specific. And so we are, you know, that's about as good as it can get in terms of we can't promise you that, you know, bad things aren't ever going to happen. But I think the state of Georgia, you know, saw that this was a very important thing, that this needed to be a part of the future. And that's great legislation that puts people's mind more at ease when they come to volunteer for us.
Exactly. And the code is, like you said, specific for volunteer drivers who are servicing senior citizens. And so it's written very specifically. So we were able to go beyond reassuring you of the Good Samaritan and be able to provide, you know, with the reassurance that Georgia has this code. And then as a registered volunteer with Gwinnett Senior Services, you are also covered under some liability insurance that we have as well. And so we protect you in every way possible, give you an opportunity to go out and meet the client before you drive them if you choose, to make sure that you feel comfortable transporting that person.
Excellent.
Well, I've just been dying to say, and I know that we do this at the end, you give some contact information, but Maria Be About is being about transportation.
Oh, yeah.
For senior adults.
Yes, I am.
But how do they, what's the best way to reach you, Maria?
Sure. My phone is always on. That telephone number is 678-377-6742. Again, that's 678-377-6742. That comes straight to me. If I'm not in the office, leave me a voicemail message and I will return your call just as soon as I get back. The application can also be found on our website, which is www.gwinnettseniorservices.com. Remember, Gwinnett has two N's and two T's. So that's gwinnettseniorservices.com.
Jamie, for our listening audience who is a resident of Gwinnett, mm-hmm. or may not be, and they're in need, they don't know where to begin, can you bestow some wisdom on what they, how they can go about finding the services that might help them?
Yes. I mean, the call needs to start with our main office at Gwinnett Senior Services. And, you know, we have two staff that are highly trained in providing information assistance and assessing an individual's, you know, situation and then referring them in the right direction. So we are the gateway to community resources in Gwinnett County for older adults.
And what is that number, Jamie?
Well, you've asked me and I don't have it written down. Do you have you can call me directly, and that's 770-822-8845. And then I can connect you with the main line where the really well-trained folks are.
good information. We love having you. And, you know, I will say that I got to be careful. Your function is to help these seniors. And unfortunately, there is so much information out there that people really get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But it's a simple call to Gwinnett County Senior Services. This is my problem.
Yep.
And you or Gwinnett County Senior Services will be able to guide them to the appropriate down the appropriate road to the appropriate resource.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for being our guest. Certainly appreciate
that. Thank you.
Thank you for, and please come back. And we once again will extend the invitation. Any upcoming events that you might have in the future?
Can we have time?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Sure. I will be visiting the Grayson Senior Group at the Grayson Senior Center on Tuesday, March the 10th at 11. And then we will have a booth at the Lifestyle Showcase event at Bethesda Senior Center in Lawrenceville on Saturday, March the 21st at 10.
And that's something, since she said we got to talk about.
He's talking to the marketing.
I'm talking to my side. Thank you. Thank you for being our guest, both of you. We welcome you back, Jamie, Maria. Thank you for being our first-time guest, and we look forward to having you here in the future.
And thank you so much.
And thanks for all you do for Gwinnett County Seniors.
Thank you.
That's it for today. We want to remind our listening audience that they can go to our website, eugeriaradio.com, and listen to any broadcast that we've had in the past. And as we always do, we want to say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is his greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.